Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in Paul's letter to the Galatians, chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren who are with me, to the churches of Galatia, grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. So far, sermon text. May be seated. In Christ Jesus, who alone is the way, the truth, and the life, dear fellow redeemed. One of the papers given at the CLC General Pastoral Conference a couple weeks ago was entitled CLC Youth Exodus. It was both a summary report of a questionnaire that was sent out to about 30-some young people who have left the CLC over the past 10 years, as well as an analysis and recommendation of what we can learn from it. It was saddening to hear some of the reasons why these young people have left our congregations and our synod. Some of them reported that they left because they disagreed with our teaching on fellowship based on the scriptures. Others said that they perceived or judged as a dead orthodoxy in our synod. That is, teaching the truth, but lacking a joyful, living spirit of evangelism in our pastors and some church members. The majority of these young people have joined non-denominational churches. Now, we do need to re-examine ourselves often. We examine our teaching, our preaching, and how we reach out to others within the congregation, and also our outreach to those in society. Even though we proclaim that our doctrine is pure, we are far from it. We are not flawless as pastors, members, church leaders, congregations. We must admit, all of us, that at times we are spiritually lazy in our outreach. But to leave doctrinal purity for misplaced feelings or perceived judgments on the sin as a whole is not God-pleasing. The majority of the congregations that these young people have joined don't teach the means of grace, the gospel and word and sacraments, and therefore they don't teach the sacraments correctly. Baptism, Lord's Supper. That is, that in these sacraments we are given forgiveness of sins, everlasting life and salvation, visibly with the bread and wine, Christ's body and blood, and being baptized in Jesus' death. Most of these churches that they've joined don't teach infant baptism. These churches teach that, man, you have the ability and the power to be able to make your decision to believe in Christ. Then the Holy Spirit comes into your heart, which is unscriptural. And these churches sometimes emphasize the law in your giving of offerings and your doing of good works. These are all teachings that are very dangerous to faith life. The Galatian Christians had the good news proclaimed to them. They had been delivered out of the darkness of unbelief to the spirits working in their hearts, proclaiming Christ and Him crucified alone. But in our text this morning, Paul's letter to the Galatians, he warns them and he warns us, don't throw away your good news. Two words of warning. Don't throw away your good news by rejecting the one who calls you by His grace, and don't throw away your good news by accepting man-made teaching as gospel. So who are these Galatians? They're people that lived in Galatia, Asia Minor, which today would be modern-day Turkey. Most of them were Gentiles. Some were Jews who had moved into that area. The Apostle Paul had traveled through there in his second missionary journey around 51 AD, and they established some congregations: Lystra, Derbe, Iconium, Antioch. On his third missionary journey, he again went to these churches and strengthened them with his visits. Shortly thereafter, false teachers came from Jerusalem, and they told the people there that Paul was not really an apostle, like one of the other 12 apostles. That Paul's message was not really the full gospel. In other words, believing Jesus Christ is fine, but you also need to keep the laws and regulations and the customs of the Old Testament. In other words, it was the age-old teaching of mixing the law with the gospel. The Galatians were falling for it. And that's why Paul wrote this letter to warn them. You're throwing away your good news for man-made customs and teachings. When Paul heard about this, he was deeply saddened. In this epistle to Galatians, Paul has some pretty harsh words. Speaks directly to the point. Does not mince words. Talks directly to their hearts because of the eternal consequences of what they were doing and what they were following. His letter to the Galatians is a call to recognize the eternal consequences and the danger of mixing faith in Christ with the obedience of the law. And unless we this morning think there's just a little lesson in history that doesn't apply to any of us today, we need to realize that this danger is just as much, if not greater, today than it was during Paul's day. Again, Paul warns you and me, don't throw away your good news about Jesus Christ. Paul jumps right into the foray in the beginning of his letter. He mentions who he is, writing to them. And then he says, Paul, an apostle, not from men, nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. The word apostle means one who is sent out. Now it's true, Paul was not an apostle like Matthew and John and James, the 12 apostles of Jesus who were called directly by him and taught by him. But Paul was called by Christ. When he's converted on the way to Damascus, Paul spoke to Ananias and said this about Paul: He is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. Paul was, in the full sense of the word, an apostle, just like the other apostles, and so he had the divine authority to write to these people and tell them, Thus saith the Lord. This is what God is telling you. My apostleship is just like them. It was not from men or from any human being, directly from Christ Jesus through God the Father himself. And Paul, in his opening words, tells them what they have. God's grace, His undeserved love, which was seen in Christ Jesus, His perfect life, His suffering, death, and resurrection, all assuring them of everlasting life and salvation, and that blessed peace. No longer was there a warfare between the Galatians and the Father. there now is perfect harmony, a oneness because of Jesus Christ. Paul writes, Jesus gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age according to the will of our God and Father. This world has not changed since Paul's day. It's still an evil age. Mankind is still conceived, dead in sin, born enemies of God, blind to God. You and I were all conceived and born dead in sins, hating God, not knowing who God is, what he's done for us. Our actions, our thoughts, our words were all corrupted by our sinful heart. But Jesus Christ came to take all that away, to wash us clean of our sins, and to bring us that good news of peace and oneness and harmony with Christ Jesus. Notice how Paul in these words so clearly directs all of our thoughts to Jesus, to his righteousness, and turns away from any thoughts of goodness on our own. Paul stresses over and over in this letter, our sufficiency is of Christ. Salvation alone through him. You see what Paul's doing here? What he's building up? He's saying, if we believe that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, that only through his death and his life and his resurrection are we saved, and that's the will of the Father, then should we permit ourselves to be deceived into thinking that we must do something then to assure our salvation? To make our salvation even more sure and secure? Should we so dishonor the merit and the work of Jesus Christ and disgrace the grace of our Heavenly Father by saying, now I must also keep the commandments in order to be saved? Paul, in great agitation of soul and heart, writes to these beloved Galatian friends of his, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. The Galatians were in the process of turning away, throwing away this good news of Jesus Christ for a different gospel, which Paul says really isn't a different gospel at all. It's that mixture of law and the good news. These false teachers didn't deny Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. They said, Jesus did die for us. But you also now need to keep these Old Testament regulations, these Old Testament laws. They wanted to hold to works. They believed that the doing of the works, the law, was necessary also for salvation. Man is justified not only by faith, but by what you do, by your obedience. You know, that type of teaching is very appealing to every single person, because by nature, we are all legalists. By nature, we all think that there's something that I must have to do in order for God to love me. I must have to do something to make myself more appealing to God. For total grace, undeserved love is just beyond our comprehension. To many in our day, the difference between simple gospel and mixture of law and gospel, no big deal. But Paul clearly states three things. Jesus Christ lived and died for us. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you are saved. Once you're brought to such saving faith, out of thankful love for your Savior, you want to live according to his commandments. These false teachers taught three things. One, Jesus Christ lived and died for us. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And three, keep the law as best you can, and then you'll be assured of your salvation. Is that nitpicking? Hair splitting? Paul says, let them be accursed. Let them be judged by God who teach this kind of damnable doctrine. It's no little thing. We take Christ's work and then add our works to it. It destroys everything Christ has done. Christ's work for us is complete. That's why Jesus said on the cross, "It is finished." That's why Isaiah said many years ago, "He for us." Not "he for us and now everyone for himself." Any amount of trust or confidence in our own good works, our own abilities, like church attendance, saying our prayers, giving of our offerings, and some way we can earn brownie points before God, in some way make ourselves look better before God, or merit God's love, destroys Christ's work. The three Reformation principles that we base our faith upon: faith alone through Jesus Christ, given us by grace alone, found in Scripture alone. These false teachers said, "Oh, faith, but not alone, because it's also your good works. Grace, but not alone, it's also your love for God. And Scripture, not alone, but also our teachings, our human opinions, our wisdom, and our customs." Paul says that even if he or a colleague or an angel from heaven came down and preached that, it'd be no gospel. The simple gospel message: salvation through faith in Christ Jesus, period. In fact, Paul writes, "As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed." Just talked to someone the other day that said, "The Bible's kind of confusing, kind of hard to understand." And I said, "It's very, very simple." And I quoted John 3:16. "It is simple. God so loved this world of sinners that he gave his only begotten Son to live that perfect life, to die upon the cross, to rise from the dead, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." Simple, but unbelievable without the work of the Holy Spirit. Even the believing we can't do. The Bible says, "No man can say that Jesus is the Lord except by the Holy Spirit." What a gospel. And what a Savior. And finally, these false teachers said, the reason Paul's not teaching about these Old Testament regulations and ceremonies and rituals is because he wants to please these Gentiles. He doesn't want to make them have to go under these laws and so forth. And Paul says, that's not true at all. In fact, he writes, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a servant of Christ." Paul says, "I'm a servant. I'm a slave to Jesus Christ. I'm not a man pleaser. I'm not teaching this in order to please Gentiles and not make them have to be obedient to the Old Testament regulations." And so should every Christian pastor and Christian teacher be. Not a man pleaser, the law and gospel speaker. One who proclaims the good news. Not to preach things that scratch the itching ears of those who want to hear things that are pleasing to them, but to proclaim what our sin-sick souls need to hear. In conclusion, I was reading a commentary from a Missouri Synod pastor back in the late 1800s who did a commentary in Galatians, and his last paragraph on this section of Galatians was what was written just yesterday. I'll use that as a closing this morning. His name is Carlo Montezorn. He writes, "The time for being pleasing to men is a thing of the past for this faithful apostle, that every servant of the word should keep in mind and steadfastly and unswervingly preach the gospel alone and testify against the false prophets who confuse the Christians and want to pervert the gospel of Christ is evident. And you Christians, do not grumble if your pastor does the same, but demand of him that he do so for your salvation's sake. Thank God if he gives you a shepherd who does this. For the Church of Christ now is in a pitiful condition, and all kinds of storms of false teachings are passing over it. The Church of Christ now is only too full of and oppressed by false teachers who want to confuse the Christians and to pervert the gospel of Christ. Only too full under all sorts of names, including even the name Evangelical Lutheran. Pay no attention to such. Avoid them. Far, far removed from you be the talk so often heard from those who have already been misled or those who are indifferent. Oh, of what good is all that? One certainly hears something good in every church. Rather say to the Lord, I hate vain thoughts, but your word do I love. Uphold me according to your word, so that I may live. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.